I'm so glad that you're here today. We're going to take a break from our study in the book of Romans for a week because it's home group time tonight, and we're going to be talking about I Will Go. And so if you've got your Bible, I hope that you do. If you'll turn with me today to John chapter 20, there's some verses there that I want us to look at. Yesterday, we finished up our Hoops for Him season with our celebration time. Thank you for all of those that made cookies or goodies or helped coach or were involved in that in any way. We had a good time in here yesterday and look forward to the tail lights as well. You know what I'm saying, right? Good. Thank you very much. Get up and go. It can be just a slang term, can it, for vim and vigor of energy and enthusiasm and drive that you have. But it can also be just a pair of commands that are connected. Get up and go. In fact, when I look at the Great Commission, that's pretty much what I see. It's Jesus telling us, get up and go. In fact, it may be your daily routine. It may be your morning routine to go in there and shake your kids and tell them, hey, get up. It's time to go to school. It might be your Sunday morning routine. Hey, get up. It's time to go to church, right? Surely you heard about the man whose wife came in and said, honey, you got to get up and go to church. He said, I don't think I want to go to church today. You got to get up and you got to go to church. And he said, well, I just don't want to go. You know, I mean, I talk all the time. Nobody ever talks back to me. I try to be friendly. Nobody down there hardly likes me at all. Why do I have to get up and go? You know what she said, right? Because you're the preacher, right? Yeah, for sure. Sometimes our get up and go is kind of like that. In fact, our get up and go is like that slang term, isn't it? My get up and go got up and went. That's right. Well, we're going to get up and go when it comes to missions and when it comes to evangelism, whether we're talking about our grow teams that are right here in our neighborhood. We had a great start to that last week and a good turnout. We're looking forward to doing that again. We're looking forward to going to Kentucky. We're looking forward to going to Haiti. We're looking forward to getting the gospel of Christ out all over this world. So it means we got to get up. It also means that we got to go. If you're there in John chapter number 20, I think you'll see that as we read through this. Stand with me if you will. Let's read together this section of Scripture. John chapter 20 has opened with the resurrection of Christ and includes in this chapter two different stories of Jesus meeting with, appearing to his disciples and giving them some parting instructions. The first is the one that we're going to read about today, beginning in verse number 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, then they are retained. That's as far as we're going today. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, you are our teacher. You are the author of this great book. And so we pray that as we turn our attention to these specific words, that you as the author and you as our teacher would take these words and apply them directly to our hearts. Help us to see our great and desperate need to get up and to go, to take the good news of Jesus Christ to every person that we ever come into contact with. Father, we pray that this very week, at home, at school, at church, at work, wherever we are, Father, I pray that you'll give us an opportunity this week to tell somebody about you. Would you do that for your own sake? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Great words. It's once again Jesus, for the most part, repeating to us the Great Commission to leave from where we are and to go and to take the gospel wherever we go. Doesn't matter, does it? Jesus simply says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says for us to begin right where we are, and no matter where we go, as we are going, we are to make those disciples in every place. But I want you to know that in this passage, Jesus not only tells them what to do, but he gives them everything they need in order to be able to accomplish what he tells them to do. Did you know that he always does that? He's always going to call you out of your comfort zone. I mean, always. So don't sit back and say, well, he's not calling me to that, because that's just not the kind of person I am. I'm an introvert. Or I don't have those special kind of gifts. That does not matter. He is going to call you outside of your comfort zone, where you cannot depend upon yourself alone. You have to depend upon him. And I believe he likes to work that way, and I believe he honors that. When we begin to depend upon him for every resource and for every need and for every word and for every occasion and every opportunity, I believe he'll honor that no matter what it is that you're doing as you follow him. So let me show you some things that he gives us today. Those things that he gives to his disciples are the very things that he gives to us. The instructions that he has given to them, he is giving to us even today. Go back with me to verse number 21. You'll notice that even as Jesus speaks, that he has given us, number one, his peace. He has given us his peace. That's exactly the way that he begins his statement there in verse number 21. Peace to you. You know, of course, the number one reason why people do not get up and go. The primary reason is fear, isn't it? I'm afraid that I won't have the right words. I'm afraid somebody will ask me a question that I don't know. I'm afraid of knocking on a stranger's door. I'm afraid of going overseas. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. Afraid, afraid, afraid. Adrian Rogers said the old saying is, silence is golden. Sometimes it's just yellow. Right? Sometimes we're just afraid, and that's why we don't go. But listen, Jesus says, even as he begins, before he ever tells them to go, he tells them, I give you peace. Peace to you. Peace in your heart. Somebody who's way smarter than me has gone through the scriptures and taken note that there are 365 commands that say, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Then somebody that's about as smart as me said, hey, 365, that's a whole year. That's right. For every day, listen, there's not a day that goes by that you have reason to be afraid. None. My favorite one is in the 23rd Psalm, where David writes and says, I will fear no evil. And in my Bible, I wrote, why? Right there beside it. Why? I'll fear no evil. I mean, we're surrounded by evil, right? There are plenty of reasons to be afraid. So why would he say that to me? I will fear no evil. Why? Because of the very next phrase, for thou art with me. He is with me. When I go knock on that door, I don't go by myself. When I get on that plane and go overseas, I don't go by myself. When I go across the street to my neighbor's house, I don't go by myself. When I go to the next cubicle, I don't go by myself. When I go to the bank, I don't go by myself. When I go to the store, I don't go by myself. He goes with me. I will not fear because you are with me. His peace comes by his very presence. And inside of you is the Spirit of the living God. You will never go anywhere. You'll never do anything outside of his very presence. And if it is his presence that brings me peace, then I shall always, always, always have peace. I love the phrase there in John chapter 14 where Jesus said, peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. I tell you what, I like that. I mean, the calm of the one that knows every storm. The calm of the one that knows every problem. He said, it's my peace. I give you my peace. Not as the world gives do I give, but I give you what you need. I give you my peace. I want you to notice something else with me there in verse number 21. It says, Jesus said to them, again. Again, peace to you. You know what? Just as much as you need to hear it over and over again, they needed to hear it over and over again. Again and again and again, Jesus told them, peace to you. When he first entered the room, just a few verses earlier, he says to them, peace. When he comes back and appears to them a second time, he will tell them, peace. Maybe you need to just be reminded today that you have no real reason to fear. Paul says, what can man do to me? Ultimately, what can somebody else do to you? What's the worst thing that could happen? For some of you, it's that you'd be embarrassed. For some of you, it's that the physical harm comes. Listen, if He's with you, He will take care of you, even if it is ultimately taking care of you. He says peace. He gives you His peace to free you to get up and go. Number two, Jesus has also given us His perspective. His perspective, as He continues there in verse number 21, He gives me what His perspective is concerning going. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Maybe when it comes to missions, maybe when it comes to evangelism, you simply need a new perspective. I want you to consider a man named Larry Walters. When he was 33 years old, and the only reason I tell you he's 33 is so that you'll know that he was old enough that he knew better. All right? All redneck stories begin that way. He might not have lived in the South, but I'm telling you, this is how it works. Larry Walters decided that he needed a new perspective on his own neighborhood. He wanted to see what it was like from the bird's eye view. And so he went to his Army surplus store and bought 45 used weather balloons. And he went to another place and he gained all of these tanks of helium. He blew up the balloons, tied them to a lawn chair. A lawn chair is always involved in redneck trouble, right? He ties 45 weather balloons to his redneck lawn chair, gets himself a sandwich and a BB gun. A sandwich, by the way, is also always involved. Sandwiches in case he gets hungry. The BB gun is so that he can begin to shoot one balloon after another, one at a time, just to lower himself safely down to the ground. Well, he had figured that these balloons would take him up 100 feet into the air. He figured wrong. When they cut him loose, those balloons snatched him up 15,000 feet into the air, right into the airspace of LAX Airport, which had to be shut down, by the way. And once he got up there, he was too afraid to use his BB gun. My BB gun would have been wet, if you know what I mean, and it ain't because he's in the rain clouds. And so he's up there for 2 hours until finally he can be rescued. And of course, when he's rescued and brought down to the ground, you know who's awaiting him, and that's the police, and they're there ready to arrest him. Well, the reporters also are there. And it's been told that they ask him three questions. Let me make sure I get these right. Number one, were you scared? Yes. Number two, would you do it again? No. That's a reform redneck right there, isn't it? This is my favorite question. Why did you do it? Why did you do it? In the best of all fashions, he said, because you can't just sit there. Because you can't just sit there. Church, let me tell you something. You can't just sit there. You can't. You can't. The world is filled with lost people who will die and go into a Christless eternity. You can't just sit there. It's as if Jesus is saying to us, you have got to get up off of that pew and go. Get up and go. Maybe what you need is a new perspective. Maybe it's not just for a preacher to tell you that you need to go. Maybe it's not to have simply an idea of the need that's there. Maybe you simply need the perspective of following Jesus. Listen to me carefully as I lovingly tell you this. If you refuse to share your faith with another person, you're being disobedient to the Lord. Hello? Amen or oh me? He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Here's my perspective. The Father has sent the Son, the Savior has sent me. In the same way that He sent Jesus, who would come not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. As He would send the Son, who would say, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. He has sent me. He has sent you to every person that you've ever come into contact with to be His ambassador, to be His missionary, to be His mouthpiece, to tell His story, to tell your story of how you ever came to faith into Christ. Jesus has given us His perspective. Maybe that's what you need to help you get up and go and know that you just can't sit here. Sorry, I can't get over the picture. Verse number 22. The third thing that Jesus has given to us is His power. His power. Jesus has given us His power. But notice specifically what He gave to them. When He had said this, when He'd said what? When He'd said, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." When He'd said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Receive the Holy Spirit. It's not just that He pumped up their spiritual muscles. It's not that He gave them a training plan. It's not that He said, if you will do this, A, B, C, if you will do this, 1, 2, 3, then you will be a strong witness for me. Instead, He gave them Himself. He gave them the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the very one that when you said yes to Jesus, that He came and began to indwell your life. He is the one that supplies you with power. I'm reminded immediately of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, where Jesus told His disciples, "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power." Power. Not to flex your muscles. Not to bend steel or to do some crazy, amazing superhuman feat. But He says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you receive power. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what He's given us power for. Not power so that we can lace our bank accounts. Not power so that we may find security in some other thing or some other person. Not power to win a game or to win a bet on a game. He has given us power to be His witnesses. Listen, through that very witness, God will change and transform a person's life. And yet I don't have the ability to do that. Change and transform their life. My goodness, I can't even get them sometimes to say yes. It is not my job and it's not your job to get somebody to say yes. It is your job, it is my job, my responsibility to tell them. To tell them about Christ. To tell them about His death. To tell them about His resurrection. To tell them about His Spirit. To tell them how their life can be changed. To tell them what they could be in Christ. And then allow the Spirit of God to take the Word of God, which is the power of God unto salvation, and to do something that you and I could never do and utterly change their life both now and for forever. Jesus has given you power to do that. There's one last thing. It's verse number 23, which obviously would take, it needs and deserves greater study. Along with what's found in Matthew 16, along what's found in Matthew chapter 18 is this verse. But will you notice the overall theme of verse 23? What is it? If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of others, then they're retained. The issue is forgiveness. Jesus has given us His purpose. His purpose for coming is now our purpose for coming. My purpose for getting up, my purpose for going, is to tell men and women and boys and girls how they can find forgiveness of sins. Knowing that we may very well go into a hostile environment. They are certainly going into a hostile environment to take that message. Jesus says and recognizes to them that there will be some who will say yes. There will be others who will say no. There will be some who will have their sins forgiven. There are some who will have their sins retained. Wake up call if you don't know this already. The vast majority of people that you will share your faith with will say no. Say, Tim, that's not fair. It's exactly what Jesus told you to expect. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. And broad is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will find that. But few will find that straight and narrow gate, won't they? Number one, don't be surprised. Number two, don't give up. No matter the response of any person, the purpose remains. No matter. No matter the response, the purpose remains. Listen to me. No matter the level of obedience, the purpose remains. The purpose is that God in Christ can save people because He died for their sins. He sealed it in His resurrection. Whether Trump or anybody else wants to admit it, there are things that we need to ask forgiveness for. And we've got to tell them where to find it. And that's what that's about. Don't read this verse and think that somehow you've been given a privileged judgment over the condition of people. That's not what the verse is about. Be sure of this, that as you read that verse, you should understand that you have a weighty responsibility concerning the condition of people. These verses tell me that His message is my message. His motive is my motive. His method is my method. His mandate is my mandate. His mission is my mission. As the Father has sent Him, He has sent us. And who knows? But that if you've got enough get up and go to get up and go, then we might just get up and grow.